Welcome to Book Pile Banter. This was Amberly with Sarah and Kim, and we do apologize for the delay on this episode. My mental health slash puppy made it a little difficult to record in the last week. So, with that said, we are continuing with our month of mysteries, and our next mystery is Murder Road. It is by Simone St. James and was published in March 2024 via Berkeley. Per Simone St. James' website, after years of writing and collecting rejections, Simone's debut novel, The Haunting of Mattie Clare, won 2 reader awards from Romance Writers of America and an Author Alice Award from Crime Writers of Canada. An Inquiry into Love and Death was nominated for another Arthur Ellis Award. Simone spent 20 years behind the scenes in the television business before leaving to write full-time. She lives just outside Toronto, Canada, with her husband and a spoiled rescue cat. The plot is newlyweds April and Eddie find themselves suspects in a murder investigation when they wind up on the wrong road and picking up a woman who has just been attacked. While trying to prove their innocence, they both have to face the secrets of their past. So, first and foremost, how did you guys feel this fit the mystery genre?
Better than the last book in that regard.
Okay.
What about you, Kim? It definitely came across as mystery to me.
Okay. So, same here. I mean, I picked this one and I've read it before, so I knew it was going to be fitting the mystery genre. I actually quite like this author. She's like an instant read for me. I'd originally read this as an arc, and I will say reading it a second time around, it was just enjoyable the second time as it was the first time for me. For me. I don't know what your all's experience. I don't know what your all's experience was with it. But yes, I think it hits all of the key elements we discussed in our first our primary episode about mysteries. And then I think Simone St. James just gives us a little something more, leaving just like a little bit more mystery, paranormal, unexplained, which isn't always the case with mysteries. I think that's what makes her writing unique. Whether you guys agree or not with that.
I agree wholeheartedly. And I'm even listening now.
Okay.
She's going to harm me.
No, I just don't have the capacity to be annoyed with that. Okay. So, first topic is plot. Sarah, what did you think of the plot?
It was better than the last book. I mean, it was coherent in the sense that, when I say it was better than the last book, it was coherent. It had a clear path. I don't know if this falls under plot, but I was not a fan of supernatural putting that into the mystery.
That is part of the plot.
Yes. Okay. So I really, when he talked about the girl in the back of the truck, I was confused. I was like, is a teenage girl responsible for all these murders? And then they're like, oh, maybe it's a ghost. And I was like, oh, please don't be a ghost. That's such a cop out. And then it was a ghost. And I was like, that was a really straightforward mystery. So I don't really like it when mysteries do that, like just go like, oh, a ghost did it, or a ghost was responsible in the end. So it's how it explained all that weird stuff. I prefer more of the Scooby-Doo approach, where it's like, oh, it seems supernatural, but in the end it was just some person in a crummy mask the whole time.
Okay,
so yeah, but I still enjoyed the book. Like it was better than the last one, obviously, but even just like as a regular read, it was fine. I was engaged throughout. I really liked the setting, the 80s, 90s. Sorry, the 80s is the other book we're reading. It's kind of a nostalgic feel to it, which was weird, but I liked that part. So, you know, it was fine. It was good, enjoyable, not amazing, but solid.
Okay. What about for you, Kim?
Unlike Sarah, I love these types of books to have a supernatural turn to them. I want it to be the ghost. I want it to take time for everyone to figure out it's the ghost.
But it was so obvious in this one that it was the ghost. Like, there was never any question.
I didn't think it was that obvious that she was the cause of the murders.
I thought it was obvious when there was a girl in the back of a truck that was chasing after a victim. I was like, oh, that must be the person egging it on. When I thought she was a living person, and then it was like, oh, she's just a ghost, so she's probably just possessing.
Well, I think people. Typically with these stories, that it's the ghost is trying to tell you what happened. The ghost isn't typically causing it to happen. So that's where this one, for me, it wasn't that it wasn't obvious. It wasn't like I was surprised when it was her that was doing the bad thing. But, you know, we were set up with the red herring with the, you know, the driver of the truck, you know, being accused and all of that. So, you know, it didn't necessarily fall in the typical way that these stories typically fall. What about you, Amber?
So I felt like the mystery in this wasn't so much who was causing the current day murders as to why the ghost wanted to do the murders. So I don't think it was supposed to be not obvious that the ghost was doing it. I think the kind of the thing that came down to it was who did the original murder. And I don't think we were told that right away. Plus, it was why the other mystery is why does this involve April and Eddie? And what are they withholding from us as a reader that would explain why they were drawn in? Which in his case, it was that the ghost was his mother. Which was still
which is interesting to me.
Go ahead.
I figured that out the instant it kind of was presented. I was just like,
yeah.
I mean, I think that was a bit more obvious, but there was still that like secret of just like his mental state, and clearly like he hadn't been honest that something might have been talking to him his entire life or messing with his mind his entire life, and that maybe he's been drawn back this entire time to this location. Because he kind of implies when finally all the secrets are out that the reason why he was discharged from the military, that it wasn't an onset due to PTSD from the war, but instead was something that he had been experiencing his entire life and was just hiding. And then I think on top of that, we then have what I loved is this implication that maybe there's something about April's past that could warrant into the murder, and that actually ended up being a red herring. And so I thought that was a really good use of the red herring, is like, oh, we need to focus on April and like the secrets of her past and what she's hiding. And then you get to the end of it and it's like, yeah, you know, actually April's past, while it was there, did not impact the mystery all that much. It just made her a little bit, and to be my favorite thing, an unreliable narrator. So, I quite liked it. It is the first time in Simone St. James's books, because I've read other ones, where the ghost is responsible for the murder. In her other books, they are used in other ways. And so I do enjoy the fact that she keeps using the paranormal in her stories, and she's addressing different ways to use the paranormal instead of doing a kind of like rinse and repeat on each one. And then I just picked this one because it was the newest one, and Kim and I are getting special editions from Illumicrate in their horror. Yeah, that's the book pick for their horror series, The Evernight.
Oh, cool, cool.
Yeah, it's going to, at least that's the prediction, is it's Murder Road. It's pretty solidly likely to be Murder Road. The person who I follow who does the predictions has been like spot on with each one that has come so far of the two. So
example plus size.
There, Well, to be fair, they are also really accurate when it comes to Fairy Loot and Illumicrate's regular editions as well. There aren't too many that I've seen that they haven't been able to figure out. I don't know how they figure it out, but they do. It's impressive. But yeah, so I like the plot. I will say, like, in terms of a, like, it's one of the more interesting ones for a mystery to me. Mystery plots aren't always, like, my most favorite thing. I lean more towards thrillers than mysteries. And I think this one is a nice balance between the two of a thriller and a mystery, which is why I picked it. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know where I was going with that. Any other thoughts on plot? Sarah's mouth moved, but no sound came through.
I was saying shit because I realized I was going to have to give it a number.
Oh, okay. I'll start with Kim then. Kim, what do you rate this?
I'm going to go with 7.5.
Okay. Sarah, you ready?
Yeah, I would probably do... well, I don't want to revisit it. Not that I would hate having to do it, but like voluntarily, I wouldn't revisit it. So I guess I'll go with a 6.
A 6? Okay. I have revisited it, happily. I'm going to give it an 8.5. Alrighty. Then next up is main characters, which I think are pretty much April and Eddie. Do we agree?
Sure.
Okay. What did you both think of the main characters?
I liked them.
Kim.
I was drawn into both of them. I thought they were really well developed, well written characters. Typically I tend to find women characters not written well, and I thought April was written very well. There was legit reasons why she could do the things she could do, and yet, you know, when things didn't quite go her way, there were legit reasons for that also. She was a little bit impulsive. And then what's the guy's name again? Eddie. You just said it. Eddie. I liked him a lot. I liked the playing on the PTSD and mental health and the aspects of him that were clearly military. And I would say that Simone St. James probably knows military people because she knew what she was writing about. So that's my take on the characters.
Okay. Sarah?
I have forgotten a lot of the meat of this story. But I think I liked the characters well enough. I do remember being a little annoyed with Crystal. No. The April? Girl. Yes, April.
Crystal was her original name.
Yes, and I don't know why that one stuck much better.
Because it was her name.
It was not her name.
Crystal died. She left California.
Oh, yeah, that's right. She died on the side of the road. Like that's right. Yeah. Remember now.
I was interested in her past up until a point. I didn't think that it was going to factor into the mystery, so I kind of started getting annoyed that we kept going back to it when I was like, what's the point here? I mean, yes, it's kind of helping develop her character, and I guess it could be a red herring if you think it's going to be relevant to the story, but like towards the end I was just like, oh wow, her mom killed her dad. I'm so shocked by that turn. It was kind of underwhelming, but I did like her as a character. I liked how she interacted with other characters like the police, and she was very interesting or different than what you usually get with a heroine, like just the way she processes events and plans and all that. It was just different, which was cool and more three-dimensional than you might typically see. And Eddie, yeah, I liked Eddie. I wasn't sure if he was going to survive for the longest time. I was like, is he just going to be fodder? So I was like, I'm not going to get attached to you. But then I was like, oh, he seems like a nice guy. And then, you know, you find out more about him and it's like, okay, he's a good character too. And he well rested.
Good.
Okay, we had to pause there for a second. So, Sarah, you were talking about your thoughts on the characters. Do you have anything else to add to that?
No, I'm pretty sure that was it.
Okay. So I liked how April and Eddie are a foil to each other.
My God, you thought about this a lot more than I did.
Because I realized they were a foil?
Just, yeah, even just comparing them in that way. I was just like, okay, this character's nice. This character's nice. That's cool. And I just kind of trotted along.
Okay. Well, yeah, no. I guess I thought about it more than you did. Now, granted, I've read it twice. But yeah, I liked how where he is hard, she's soft. And where she's hard, he's soft. Like they work well together. And then on top of it, it made sense why these two people married as quickly as they did. Particularly given military men's proclivity towards marrying quickly. Although this was post being in the military. My mom is giving me a look because my dad is a military person. I would say your guys' situation is different because you guys met before being in the military. However, there is definitely a trend of military men particularly liking to get married in order to get benefits and maybe not always thinking through those military choices. Military women as well. I really shouldn't just say military men, but military personnel are notorious for rapid marriages. So, it's just silence.
Yes. Sure.
I am fighting all urges of explaining military life. And so, yeah. Well,
why fight it?
Because it's not always just for benefits. I think that was a very derogatory way to put it. It is often, depending on the time frame of when the marriages happen, sometimes it's because it's the quickest convenience. Meaning, I don't know how to explain it. I'm so bloody tired. Meaning like you're going off to war, so we have to marry now. You know, it's not just for benefits. That was the only thing that made me twitch.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Often military members will marry for benefits.
I meant in terms of not often, really thinking through the marriage.
Right. And often with each other, just because then they, I'm not going to break down the benefits thing. But yes, that happens a lot. But yeah, that's not.
So it just naturally led towards me being accepting of these two characters getting married quickly. Because she has been avoiding this on the run. Felt instant attraction where she hasn't felt that before and went, I'm going to give this a try, even though I really shouldn't. And he was like, you know, I like her. I don't know that anybody else is going to be willing to deal with the mental trauma that I got going on. So this will work. And I hope it works for them. I think in the long run, they'll stay together.
I mean, after that experience, who else are you going to find who's going to understand what you
understand? Exactly.
Right. But then just on top of it, I liked each of their character developments. Initially, I was like, oh, no, Eddie's just going to be, you know, the strong, sturdy military guy. And then we got more out of him and more development. I also love the fact that, like, he totally recognized that the bed and breakfast, Rose? I want to say her name was Rose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
took a fancy to him and was just like, well, let me help you. Let me do these things. And I'm just going to continue to be sweet to you because it benefits everyone. It makes you feel good and it helps us. So like
he seemed very self-aware. That's one of the things I liked about him. He knew who he was. He knew what he was capable of.
He knew how to work people, and wasn't shy about it. You know, when he needed to be big, bad, and strong, he was. When he needed to be more quiet, he was. I really liked his character.
Yeah. Well, and I will say, I also appreciate the fact that he never got upset with April for not telling him the truth. Yeah. I really appreciated the fact that he was like, no, I could tell that something was being withheld. You had told me enough to know that there was enough trauma to warrant that. And I was more worried about you finding out my stuff. So, like, why would I hold this against you?
I thought it was really interesting how they went into this marriage with a complete lack of communication. But they were they communicated very well. When they finally had to engage in communication and move forward with the circumstances that they were in, I liked that. I felt it was a lot more authentically written than we get in a lot of books when it comes to people. There's so many times authors want to use lack of communication as a means to further on a story, and the lack of communication came before we ever got into the story. And then we were into the communication as soon as it set forth. And so it made it a better read than we typically get in books.
Yeah, no, I agree. They also felt like three-dimensional people.
Mm-hmm.
These felt like people that I might have run into at any point in my life, whether I knew their history or not. And which I think in a way made the mystery component of it less absurd. Because having these like organic characters that felt real, then when like the absurd portions of the mysteries kind of started happening, it left you with something to be grounded to. If that makes sense, do you agree, Sarah? Any thoughts? Yeah. Or are you like, I just read this book and it was a journey?
I just read this book and it was a journey.
Okay.
If you can hear the purring, she's right next to the mic. No, so
it doesn't come through, sadly.
Aw. Purr louder. Purr louder.
Stick the mic into her throat, like up against it, not like down her mouth, you know.
All right. Funny. Are y'all ready to rate the main characters? Okay. Sarah, you want to go first?
I guess I would give them I'll go 7.5.
He didn't use the restroom, but he also didn't seem particularly playful, so.
You said 7.5, and I apologize for anyone who overheard Martin. He was bringing Pluto back into the room and giving me a bathroom. Yeah, he was giving me a bathroom update. He didn't go, but he wasn't playful either, so he's still pretty sleepy after eating his dinner and learning some walking on a leash training. Okay, you gave it a 7.5, Kim?
I'm going to give him a 9.
9. We're not related. You don't trigger each other's echolalia constantly. I can give it a 10. I can't think of anything that I disliked about them. I would happily return to these characters. Obviously, I have. I just don't have anything negative to think about them. Perfect execution in my mind. Okay, secondary characters. So I will get us started on the secondary. Go ahead, Kim.
I liked Rose. I like the fact that Rose did not play out the way you expected her to at all. Because, you figure when you start out, oh, she's going to be the annoying, you know, in this case, B&B owner, and she's going to be a busybody, and she's going to be a bitch. And, you know, there's so many stereotypes in her typical character. And she was none of those. And I love her and Eddie's play on each other. I love the fact that she didn't like April very much. And I think that was purely jealousy, and she didn't think April was good enough for Eddie. But that's just my headcanon that I have going on. But yeah, no, I thought Rose was awesome. I thought the police were well played. You know, you kind of, you got, oh, they're just the bad cops. And then you realize, no, they're not the bad cops. They just have the reasons for why they do what they do, whether it be history or whether it be, you know, just, you know, how they were trained as cops or whatever. And the fact that they didn't necessarily get along, but they had to deal with each other. You know, I thought the secondary characters were well developed, and they were not flat. They were, you know, we got fully developed characters out of them.
I also really liked the sisters.
Yeah. Yeah. At first I thought these two are going to be annoying. I honestly got to the sisters, and it came across as such a supernatural type of thing, you know, meaning the TV show Supernatural. I looked up to see if the writer was a fan of Supernatural to see if there was any history on that, but I couldn't find anything on it, because that was classic. You get the local townie that's got all the information, and that, you know, you got to go to them for the support and help in figuring things out. But yeah, anyway.
Just a second.
You didn't have to look it up. I looked it up. I couldn't find anything on it.
Well, I was wondering, because it would not be out of the realm of possibilities.
Yeah.
Because they are from Canada, and she did work in television. I just wasn't sure about the timing or what she did in television. So I wonder that. I had not taken that into account before now. Not that it like mattered to me at the time when I'm reading her stuff. But it does now make me wonder. No, I really enjoyed the sisters. I thought they were a nice, like, comedic, like, just as it started to get heavy, there are just these two sisters with their conspiracy theories helping them out. And on a certain level, I was like, you know, every small town has to have their conspiracy theorists. I feel like, what else are you going to do in a small town other than conspiracy theories?
And annoy all of the grown-ups.
Yeah. I love Rose. I thought Rose was funny. I love her weird obsession with Diana. It totally made sense for being set in the 90s and really helped to remind the reader that they were in the 90s if they were forgetting that. I also love the fact that, like, everyone thought she had murdered her husband. And in reality, he was a ghost still there, and she...
We lost Amber. Oh, there you buffered.
Yeah, my internet connection is unstable. So I was saying, I loved the fact that we got to the end of it and discovered that, like, Rose suspected that Eddie was still there as a ghost and was dealing with the town thinking she murdered him, because where Eddie was is where she, not Eddie, sorry, Robbie. Where Robbie was is where she wanted to be. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sarah, any thoughts for you for the secondary characters? Or were they there and you were happy to read them?
I liked Rose. She grew on me a lot. And I liked Officer Syed quite a bit too.
Yeah.
The sisters were interesting, but I wasn't annoyed by
I'm not
them,
surprised you
expecting
didn't yeah
to be annoyed by them, so the whole time I was just like, I don't know about you two. But yeah, no, I mean,
you know, the scene I loved is the scene I loved is, so we get introduced to the younger sister, And the older sister walks into the kitchen and she's being all older sister, you know, bitch to her younger sister situation. And then the younger sister's like, they're here about this. And she's like, oh, let me get my material. I thought that was so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a good yep.
All right. Any other thoughts on secondary characters?
No.
Okay. Kim, what do you give the secondary characters for rating?
9.
Hey. Sarah?
7.5.
Okay. I'll give him an 8. Alrighty. Next, we have plausibility. Sarah rolled her eyes.
I looked up at the screen.
You rolled your eyes.
And then got an innocent look on your face. That was awesome.
I was just looking up at the screen.
So, I mean, in terms of a mystery, I think mysteries as a whole function this weird realm of absurdity. And you have a marginal, like, you have a scale of how absurd to not absurd it is. I would say this one's on the lower end of the absurd. Like, I think the only thing that really makes it absurd is, like, the ghost portion of it.
I know, it's like, well, if you accept the ghost portion, I suppose.
Yeah, but like in terms
but
of...
But I think if we're going to look at this like we do any other book, I mean, we've looked at books that take place in space and that was plausible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, do I believe ghosts are real? No. But does that not make it not plausible that, you know, whatever outside of whatever realm of possibility that it might actually be true, whatever, it's the same as, you know, anything else that we've read. So
that's why I'm like, it's on a lower level of absurdity. Is like, yeah. Can we recognize it is kind of absurd? Yes. However, do mysteries function in kind of an absurd space anyways? Yes. Is it like this detective? Oh no, my headphones turned off. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, we were discussing plausibility before my headphones gave out. So,
are we gonna give it a number?
Continuing thoughts, or just go straight to number?
I don't even remember if I said anything about plausibility other than the fact that it has ghosts, but. Yeah, I don't really have anything specific to say about it.
Okay, numbers then. Sarah.
I guess I would give it
7.5?
No. Just because we can accept that ghosts are real in this universe that has been established in this book doesn't mean I enjoyed that. So I'm going to give it... I mean, it wasn't positive, but it wasn't overly negative. I'll give it a 4. Yeah, 4.
Okay. Kim?
Seven. I don't understand numbering plausibility, but anyway.
Just go with what's in your
heart.
It
should either be 1 or 10. It's either plausible or not.
Listen, y'all want to do the work, y'all can change the rating system. Y'all don't want to do the work, y'all don't get to change the rating system.
I believe there's in the past where I recommended changes, but anyway.
You take care of social media or editing, and you can make changes. I give it 8. Okay.
Next.
Also, I would like to point out that I have three animals touching me, and none of them are Murphy.
Okay.
So.
That's an amazing thing.
I don't have any animals touching me.
Well, I have one touching me.
Ending.
It did end.
I enjoyed the ending.
Actually, I did too. I thought it was a nice ending. I thought it was, there was a nice denouement.
I liked the idea of them coming back. And this idea that maybe becomes this yearly thing where they come back to see Rose and just visit the town.
That's right. I forgot how it ended for a moment there.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, I liked it. I have nothing that I would want to change, nothing I disliked. I liked the ending. It was a good ending.
Yeah. It wrapped up the story.
I like the fact that it was said that Robbie's going to stick around there until Rose is dead.
Yeah.
And then they're going to go off into the nether regions together.
Nether regions.
I liked that. Okay. Kim, what do you rate ending?
8.
Okay. Sarah.
Give it a 7.
I give it a 10. Okay, next we have Mechanics. Which, I mean, in terms of a mystery, this is structurally sound. It hits the points that you'd expect. It plays around with some interesting points. It's a perfectly, to me, well-written story in terms of structuring, descriptions, character development. I don't have any complaints about the mechanics myself.
Sometimes I notice that.
Oh, go ahead. No, you go ahead.
It's not necessarily a bad thing. It just seemed a little weird how it was included. Was just the amount of detail that sometimes went into what characters were wearing. I was like, this feels really old fashioned for some reason, because it doesn't matter what they're wearing. And in some cases, it was like kind of just giving you flavor for the time period. But other times, it was like, okay. I don't know why we just talked about those two characters' appearance. It's fine, whatever. It didn't really annoy me. It just kind of, there was something about it that just didn't flow as well. So it kind of took me out of the moment. But otherwise, I mean, like you said, it's structured very soundly like a mystery, and it's paced well. It covers all the necessary ground very well.
Yeah, the clothing didn't bother me, only because it just seemed like a good like reminder that, hey, this isn't modern day. You know, why aren't they looking this up on cell phones and all that jazz? And I think it also reminded, it was a good, like, anytime it was brought up, it was reminding me how other people see April, since we're getting it from April's perspective. And also how she's trying to project herself to other people. Because she clearly had a very deliberate way that she was dressing in order to be not noticeable.
Yeah. I didn't notice as much when it was talking about her clothing. It was just whenever they met a new person. A lot of detail was put into what they were wearing that particular day. And I was like, sometimes it was fine. Other times I was like, okay, this is weird that we have to talk about their appearance or like their clothing specifically every time. But
that's fair. What about your thoughts, Kim? Did the clothing bother you? Did you notice it, not notice it?
I did notice it. I thought the clothing was a purposeful thing. Like you said, it was done to describe April and kind of address how she perceived herself and how others perceived her. I didn't really notice everybody else's dressing. The constant talk about her being in shorts and flip-flops was kind of funny. And
it drove home because it was summer.
I always hated. Yeah. And that's kind of where I was going to go. I hated being in shorts when I don't wear shorts much anymore, but because when you get into a hot car that doesn't have good air conditioning, it's really uncomfortable to be riding around in shorts in, and yeah, you're just burning your thighs. It's not comfortable.
I said, thank you for that reminder.
What? Okay. The other thing that I noticed the mechanics, and it's just one thing that happened, and it happened twice. She's in the passenger seat. So April's in the passenger seat. And she's talking about looking in the rearview mirror. That is not how rearview mirrors work. Side view mirrors, yes. Rearview mirrors, no. To the point where it stuck in my brain so hard that the next time I got into a car and I was in the passenger seat, I looked at the rearview mirror to see if I could see anything. And I couldn't. It's not set for your angle. It's set for the driver's angle. They used to have real big rearview mirrors, and maybe, but no, the passenger doesn't
have to remember what kind of car it was.
Yeah, but even this is the 90s. I'm talking way back, like in the 60s, they had big, massive rearview mirrors that, you know, maybe the passenger could have seen the back. The passenger doesn't see the back of the car through the rearview mirror.
I don't know what car Robbie had. I think the Pontiac was Eddie's car. I don't know what car Robbie was in.
Like it was his beloved car. It was
like a Chevelle or something. Yeah, I think it was
for that one. Inaccurate mirrors.
No, I think it was the wide. Mm-mm.
Not in the 90s. Not in the 90s.
But his car wouldn't have been new.
Not in the 90s.
Neither of them would have had new cars. Those would have been older cars.
Yeah, but you know what? I would have to see one of the old ones in order to know whether that's even... Plausibility. I should have done this in plausibility. It's not not good mechanics. The passenger is going to use the rearview mirror. It's just doesn't work that way. But anyway, that was my only gripe in the entire in the entire story. It was just like that. Those were my notes when I'm like, this is not how rearview mirrors work.
Okay. Anything else?
Nope.
Alrighty. Sarah, what do you rate mechanics?
I would rate mechanics with a 7.5, I suppose.
Okay. Kim?
I'm gonna give it an 8.
Okay, I give it a 10.
Hi, Allie.
I can't hear you.
Oh, I know.
Predictability.
I thought it did well in the predictability department. We talked about earlier, I think that it was not typical for this type of a story. So that made the predictability well played. So things I knew was coming, you know, I accepted what I knew was coming, and things that I didn't know were coming worked out well for me.
Okay. Sarah?
I mean, it just felt predictable to me.
Bad predictable or good predictable?
Not necessarily bad, but it just wasn't very mysterious. It felt pretty clear as to what was going on.
Considering it's a mystery.
Sorry, I had to cut you guys off there for a second. You were talking about predictability, considering it's a mystery.
Wouldn't it be a bad thing? It's like, well, I mean, certainly doesn't give it any good. I don't know. At least it's not like she tried really hard to do weird twists that just had no basis in the book. I just feel like the foreshadowing, or whatever you want to call it, seeding the breadcrumbs. Is that even a phrase? I don't think that's a phrase. But it's just, I don't know, it just seemed too obvious with each thing, like mentioning that, oh, he was adopted, and then like two chapters later they talk about how, oh, the dead girl had a baby before she died, or a child. So it's like, oh, well, we know what's going to happen there. And again, the weird, creepy girl in the back of a truck. Like, that's obviously not normal. So obviously she's involved in the murders somehow. And then the reason she got murdered, the person who murdered her, it was like, yeah, it was probably going to be a family member of some sort. It just seems like that's how mysteries go sometimes, or more often than not. So I don't know. I don't know how I would rate it, really, or consider it to be good or bad predictability. I just felt it was maybe.
Fuck, stop. Okay, what do you guys rate predictability?
Kim, you want to go first or me?
Yeah, I'll go first. I'm going to give it a 7.5.
Okay. Sarah?
I guess, I mean, it wasn't overtly negative. I was just kind of a little underwhelmed by how linear or expected it kind of ended up being. So I guess I'll give it a, it sounds harsh, but at the same time, it's the one that's like neutral, like not positive, not negative. So I'll go with 4.
Okay. I give it a 7.5.
Okay.
Emotional reaction? What are you guys' thoughts?
I was happy at the end. I liked the ending. I liked how it resolved out, and the resolution. I even liked the resolution with the bad cop. I say in air quotes, he wasn't really a bad cop. He just had a weird way.
Was that Quentin?
Of interact. And you know, he was still himself. He didn't like suddenly change, but you know, he kind of accepted where things were at. So anyway, I made me happy in the end.
Sarah?
Yeah, I didn't have any like strong emotional reaction to this book, but it was, there was no like annoyance. There was no like, oh God, I have to read like 50 pages to meet my quota or whatever. I could hit those easily. I was, you know, my emotions throughout the book were just maybe not like intrigued, or just, I don't know what emotion I'm trying to do with my hands, like the clenching motion.
I like it though.
I want to say engaged, but not quite engaged. Something stronger. But I was entertained, I guess. I was entertained throughout, and the ending was satisfying. I did feel a little bit of emotion with the whole scene where Robbie appears and like pulls her down to save her from the gunman.
Yeah.
That's not moment, even though again, ghost things make me not so happy usually. I did like that moment. And I remember too, when we got to that point in the book, I was like, it's weird that the ghost husband, hasn't really showed up or played much of a role yet, even though he's been hinted at multiple times. And then like, I swear, the next page had that moment go down, and I was like, right there. So yeah,
save overall, the day.
Pleasant, and even had a little emotional moment there.
Yeah, I enjoyed it enough that I was willing to read it twice, and I had a really hard time trying to decide if I wanted to do this one or a different Simone St. James books, because I do enjoy reading her books. So yeah, I enjoyed it. I had a good emotional reaction to it. It was just as satisfying the second time as the first time. What do you rate it, Sarah?
I would give it a 7.5.
Kim?
8.5.
I put this on the wrong people. I give it a 9. Readability.
It was very easy to read. Just like Sarah was saying just a few minutes ago, it was easy to engage in it and go in and keep moving forward. I think I read it in just, a day, a little over a day and a half or something. I believe I read it on the plane or on the airport. I don't remember. But anyway, it was easy to read. It was enjoyable.
What I like about her books is they become good, like, palate cleanser kinds of things. You know that you don't have to think too hard, but you can think a little bit harder. They're always going to be quick reads, a little different each time. This time I listened to an audiobook and I enjoyed it just as much on audiobook as I did when I read it digitally the first time as an ARC. So yeah, it's easy read for me.
Yep. I already mentioned it and Kim referenced it as well. It was easy to read, easy to jump into, easy to continue. I do wish that it hadn't smelled so god awful, but not every new book is a winner, I guess.
No.
I just don't understand. It had like a musty old book smell, but not it. I don't know. It wasn't like a scent that it had picked up in transit or anything. It was very much ingrained in the pages, but it did not smell good.
Okay, what do you rate it then, Sarah?
Shit. Easy to read. I mean, it was great. So I guess I'll go with 8 on read. Okay. I don't know. It was really easy to read. But it's like, is it an all-time personal favorite of mine, the readability? I don't even know how to really score that. I don't know.
Go with 8.
I don't know.
Go with 8.
I'll just stay with 8. I'm going to go with 8. All of my heart.
No, Pluto.
Hello, Ronan. I'm going with 8 also.
Okay. I give it a 10. Okay. Sorry, Daenerys. Style.
I've not read any of her other books, but I would think that she probably has a very definitive style to her.
Yes.
She writes well. So.
Like her main female characters, they're always well-written and typically are main female characters. There's always a supernatural element to her stories, which I like, and they don't play out the exact same way each time. I will say, the other thing this benefits from is this is more than a couple of books in. This is probably 5 or 6 books in. And so by this point, she definitely has a stronger style than maybe some of her first books, which were so good, but like weren't necessarily distinctly like Simone St. James. Now I could recognize her book and be like, oh, is this a Simone St. James book? So, Sarah?
Are you asking for my rating or my thoughts?
Your thoughts on style.
I mean, I don't know at this point in time if I read a different book by her, I would recognize her style specifically, but I do feel in reading it that it is probably different. It doesn't feel like a cookie cutter mystery sort of thing, if that makes sense. Like, you know, like you mentioned, her female characters, her main female characters, they're pretty strong. They're pretty unique. And I guess the supernatural elements might be a clue if she likes to use those a lot. So Yeah, it's probably a definitive style. It didn't stand out to me too much, like excessively so, but that's pretty rare for a book. You usually have to have more of a, I don't know, pretty quirky writing style to really stand out. It was good. I agree that she's a good writer.
Okay, what do you rate it now?
So I guess would I want to revisit it? That paranormal stuff. It always comes back to this one, but I'm gonna give it a 7.5. Sometimes you have a theme. Rating ends in a 0.5 and not an even number.
Kim, what's your rating?
I'm going to go with a 9. I could see myself reading her stuff in the future.
I give it a 10. I like reading her stuff. I like rereading it. So I gave it a 91. Which one is me? I think this one is me. Kim gave it an 81.5.
Okay.
And Sarah gave it a 66.5.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, if I'm not amazed, it like eliminates the 10, 9s, and 8s. So it's very hard to get a higher score out of me unless I'm like, wow, this is great. And that's pretty rare. So 60, yeah. 70.
So overall, it got a rating of 239. Not which that. Puts it in the top 10.
Yeah, I was like, we don't normally get that into the 200s.
Yeah, yeah. It would be... actually, I think it puts it in the top 5.
Oh.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. No, just shy of it. It would be position 6 currently.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other comments, thoughts?
Nope.
Okay. We will be back next time with the only one left, a Riley Sager book, which will be our second Riley Sager book that we have done. That Sarah is almost done with.
No, I'm on page 242 out of like 300 and something.
When are we recording this? I just started it today.
Well, obviously not this weekend since I'm busy Saturday and you're on a plane on Sunday, so.
Yeah.
And I'm busy Friday. All right. Then in that case, our intro and outro music is by Grant Newman and is called The Battle of the Nile from Epidemic Sound. Don't forget to like, rate, and subscribe to Book Pile Banter on Spotify, Amazon Music, iTunes, or whichever platform you listen to our podcasts. We'd love to hear from you on any of our social media platforms, such as Instagram or TikTok. You can find us at book_pile_banter. You can support us on bookshop.org. Our link is available via our social media. You can email us at bookpilebanter@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.